going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Want to tell everybody at 6:20 or a little after, we'll have one with this former Major League Baseball pitcher, Scott Sanders, covering the LSU Baseball Tigers, winning two out of the last three against the University of Tennessee. Bob, let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Guy in Houston. Guy, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
How you doing, Bobby and Mike? Enjoying the show? I just want to say this. The draft, I think, went pretty well. Bobby stole my thunder with the Danny Stutzman pick there. I think that was a great value pick.
I agree.
It did. You know, however, I'm TBD on Tyler Shuck. And looking at film, Mike, I don't know, and Bobby, if you guys go back and look, this guy, I hate to say it, but he reminds me of Jim Everett. Size-wise, the way he throws the ball, I just hope he doesn't have the happy feet.
Well, they don't hit the quarterback. He shouldn't have happy feet. I mean, you can hang in the pocket. They really can't hit you no more. When Jim Everett played, they can hit you.
you know,
that's why I look like a young quarterback hanging there tough. Make the throw. They really can't finish the quarterback. They can't power drive you into the ground. They can't hit you. I mean, I'm not saying you might not get hit a little hard, but they're not going to finish it. Maybe you land on your shoulder and you... Yeah, they're not going to finish the hit. I mean, I don't...
The other thing, too, is it was his first year as a starter, say, full-time in college football, where he took the vast majority of the snaps. Who he reminds me a lot of, you might not like the comparison with this, Kirk Cousins. That's who he reminds me of coming out of Michigan State.
Well, I can tell you, if he turns out to be Kirk Cousins, the Saints hit a home run. Now, the ultimate, you want to win Super Bowls. But I'm telling you, it's hard to find winning quarterbacks. Just look at Kirk Cousins' career. Look where he was drafted. He wasn't supposed to be the guy with the Redskins.
No, he wasn't.
And look at Shanahan. You don't think the Shanahans know what they're doing at quarterback? And look where they took him. Look how he parlayed that better than himself. And then he goes to the Vikings. Kirk Cousins is always better than himself, so that means he can handle pressure. And look how he succeeded. He's made more money in football than Tom Brady, purely from football. So if he turns out to Kirk Cousins, now ultimately Saints fans want the next Drew Brees win Super Bowls. But from an individual standpoint, Kirk Cousins made over $400 million. And I'm talking about football.
I'm not talking about the Kirk Cousins now.
Coming off the Achilles, but
I'm talking about Kirk Cousins coming out of Michigan State.
Yes.
There are a lot of similarities in how they handled the game. Now, Kirk had more snaps under his belt than what Kyler did.
Right.
But when you watch them, their mannerisms, how they throw the football, how they kind of can process information of finding the guys downfield, there are a lot of similarities between Kirk Cousins and Tyler Shuck.
Well, and off the field, Kirk Cousins, I mean, you never say anything bad about him. What was that? Was it on Netflix or something when they go in your house and all that? I mean, that was very entertaining, and I think he did an outstanding job, and he was able to handle that pressure.
I'm interested in what happens now with Kirk Cousins.
Well, they're paying
him. What happens now?
If I was in his shoes, hey, they're paying me. I'm going to be a pro. I'm well compensated. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be a good team player. I'm going to help out Penix to be the best quarterback that he can be. And, you know, you never want another player to get injured, but it is football. Let's say he would get hurt or he's not succeeding. They might say, come on, Kurt, get in there and do something. That happened with me two or three occasions, I'm telling you, with Jeff George. Jeff George, who had a John Elway type arm. I'm in Atlanta. My elbow was shot, really, when I was coming back, and I knew the game. So I remember June Jones, like two or three occasions, said, Bobby, we're kind of desperate right now. Go and do something. And then you help the team win. You know what the value of that and the stability that brings? Remember I told you, and there was this Christmas Eve, 1995, the 49ers are playing the number one seed. Jeff George is getting the crap knocked out in the beginning of the game, and we lose him by 10 points. And I don't know, he sprained his neck and he came out of the game. He shouldn't have came out of the game. And he was like, I guess they want to get hit no more. And it was only after a quarter and a half.
And that's when they could actually hit you.
Yes. So I go in the game and I brought us back and we ended up winning. So we became a wild card team and we had to go up to Green Bay and play Favre and all them. And then Jeff, all of a sudden, after 1 week, my neck doesn't hurt no more, and he's ready to play against Green Bay. But that was a different story. But it was just when you called upon, can the organization or the coaches count on you? And can you bring stability? That's why, you know, say, the Falcons are going to trade Kirk Cousins. I think they look at that as an unbelievable insurance policy. And they want Michael Penix to work out, but Mike, how many games he's played? He hadn't even played two handfuls, right?
He hadn't played. a lot.
Yeah, and he might be the guy. He might be awesome, but they got to let it play out.
So he becomes a big wild card in the offseason. Now, post NFL draft, of where Kirk Cousins eventually ends up. You brought up about what happened with when you look at Aaron Rodgers, him coming off the Achilles. He looked a lot different the last
eight games
of the season than he did earlier, the front half of the season.
The healing process, you get older and how productive he was. All I know is he threw 28 touchdowns and 4,000 yards. Okay, how many young cats did that last season? I mean, I don't care if you're 40, you're 30, you're 20, whatever. It's all about production. And that's why, again, there's not enough quarterbacks. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play, there's no reason. It's not even close. You know, there's not 20 quarterbacks better than Aaron Rodgers right now. Now, maybe I want more of a team leader because he kind of beats his own drum. But he's producing on the field. The trust factor, if you're truly trying to lead men, lead by example. And if you're playing winning football, that's the best formula. So I don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. He might be, I'm going on another hike or I'm going, I'm going to go to the Himalayas and whatever. I'm just going to retire. I'm going on another retreat. But I don't know. All I know is there ain't 20 guys better than him and there's 32 teams.
Thanks so much for the call, Guy. We appreciate it. When we come back here on Second Guess, we'll have on with us former Major League Baseball pitcher Scott Sanders talking LSU baseball right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Former Major League Baseball pitcher Scott Sanders. Had to be an enjoyable, well, two out of the three games. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. And if you were up at 1:30 Saturday morning, you got to see Bear kind of take over and knock one out of the park. But man, what a great series between two teams. Have a great dislike for one another, but when you're really good on both ends, it's going to cause that animosity that you got between both.
And Scott, the moral of the story, you got to win two out of three, right?
Yeah, no doubt. First of all, hey fellas, thank y'all for having me. It was unfortunately, believe it or not, I did fall asleep, and then I woke up and I middle of the night, and so I put on Twitter and I saw the home run. So I literally watched it like three times, but wow, that was a bomb. And man, that place had to be rocking after that home run.
Nothing, man, my thing is, Scott, there ain't no way I pitched it.
Yeah, no, it's one of those, sometimes it's one of those things that, you think you're making the right decision, wrong decision. And obviously that night they definitely made the wrong decision, because I think that ball just landed like today, and that was a few days back. I think it just landed.
You know, Scott, what is your take? You being the pitcher that you are and the expertise that you bring to the table, and you look how it could be college, major league, whatever, how games are structured and how you have a starter, the middle reliever, and the relievers. What is your sense right now? Because LSU fans, I don't know enough about to really give an opinion, but about when you look at LSU's relievers right now and when you're trying to close out a game, it's not too much certainty right now. Well, what's your take on that, where we're at as far as the relievers and closing out games for LSU right now?
You know, so obviously Zach Cowan has been lights out, and Cason Evans has been lights out. Those are their two main guys. Those are two guys who come out the bullpen and literally shut the door, knock on wood, almost every time they've had an opportunity to. Now, you know, obviously Jay, which he always does this time of year, he's going to find a way to give his team the best way to win that Sunday game. You know, because the Sunday games in the SEC,
sometime, or beside, obviously Friday is important because you set the tone, but it's also the Sunday games are so important because, you know, not everybody has that stud on Sunday, but you know, he went to this week and he went to Cason Evans, the freshman who he had been using out the back end of the bullpen, and he put Chase Shores in the bullpen, which I'll be honest, I think I said this a few weeks back that I think Chase Shores is probably better off in the bullpen right now, coming off the injury he had. And you can really pick and choose spots to use him. But you know, besides those two guys, everybody else has just kind of been up and down. But to not make excuses for the guys who have been up and down, a lot of times they're putting games where they're already behind, right? When Cowan and Evans are coming in games, LSU had the lead, and their job was to hold the lead. These other guys, a lot of these guys are following Ianson, and for some reason you look at Ianson's numbers, and they're pretty good, but he just always has that one inning where he gives up two or three or four runs, or a multiple of innings where he gives up the two, and LSU's behind. You know, they're not scoring 8-9 runs for him, it seems like. You know, so some of these guys are coming out the bullpen, and coming out the bullpen with a lead is totally different than coming out the bullpen when your team's behind, because you feel like you have to be perfect coming up. When your team's behind, you feel like, oh, my gosh, I can't give up a run, so I have to be perfect. Well, when you try to be perfect in pitching, you know, it just doesn't always work out in the best favor for you. So most relievers want to come out with a lead and just go out there and just let their stuff shine, let their stuff play, and they know, okay, I can give up a run, I just can't give up three or four, if that makes sense.
Scott, I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but someone asked me to ask you about this, knowing you were going to be on tonight. To compare what we're watching with Derek Curiel, who was unbelievable yesterday, 4-for-4, he gets a home run, 2 doubles, 5 RBIs. Compare Derek to Dylan Cruz, same time in their careers.
Yeah, you know, two different type of players, but obviously I think Curiel's numbers as a freshman are probably better than Dylan Cruz's. Obviously, I don't know if he'll be as good as Dylan Cruz and be the second pick in the draft, to be honest, but his numbers are phenomenal. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but one of the first weeks we talked, I told you keep your eye on this kid because I watched him and it's just, he doesn't look like a freshman, you know. And the one thing LSU fans have to enjoy him because he's going to only be here 2 years. You know, he's going to be a draft eligible sophomore next year, so he won't be here after next year because he'll be a first round pick next year. As long as he's knock on wood, he stays healthy. But I think raw numbers, the stuff he's putting up, you know, with the on-base streak he had, and obviously yesterday was 4-for-4, whatever he was. He's a pro as a 19-year-old, which is pretty impressive, even though – and I don't care what conference you're doing in, but when you do it, what he's doing in the SEC is phenomenal. But, I mean, comparing apples to apples, numbers-wise, I think Curiel's freshman year is better than Dylan Cruz's, but I don't think he'll be – as high as a pick as Dylan was.
Jared Jones, I know you and I have spoke about Jared so many times, and Bear, just the raw power that he brings to the plate. But I remember last year, and this was about midseason, and you made the comment to me, I see the change in him. He's become much more selective at balls he is swinging at. He has become a better overall hitter. And I... You know, one thing is he's intimidating at the plate when he steps up there. And you see that steady progress with Jared Jones, even though he's a star player today, he still has upside to his game. Scott, that's unbelievable. Well, when you see the numbers he's put up and how intimidating he is, and yet there is still some upside to his overall game.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, you're looking at he's hitting .358 on the season, which number one for a guy with that type of power is really impressive. You know, he's got 30 walks on the season, which, you know, that puts his on base percentage at .458. So it's not every other time he's getting on base, but dang near every other time. Every other time at the plate he's getting on base, which that just shows you that, you know, back as a freshman, he probably hit in the 245 range, and his on base is probably 275, you know, so that's telling you he's not walking. And his strikeouts were probably, I wouldn't say 2/3 of the time, but 60% of the time he was probably striking out, you know. But he just, you know, he grinded. He got in the cage. He learned. And I'll be honest, he watching Tommy White and Dylan Cruz do it, there's sometimes a coach can try to teach you anything and everything he wants to teach you, but some of the best lessons in life, and Bobby can tell you, is sitting and watching two really good hitters do it day in and day out and say, like, I want to be like those guys. What do they do? Pick their brains, because coaches, you know, you're talking about coaches, they're sometimes twice the kid's age, you know. They can relate, but they don't always relate the same as somebody that's only 2 years older than them, that's in the fire, doing it every day. So I really think him playing with Tommy White and Dylan Cruz really, really helped him become the hitter he is today.
Scott, I don't know how much you've watched Southeastern this year as LSU plays them tomorrow. This is a 33-11 team. They're 18-6 in the Southland Conference. Man, they got kind of overshadowed, certainly, because of what's happened in Baton Rouge. But I don't know how much you've watched of the Lions, but how you think they will match up going up against LSU tomorrow night?
Well, and Mike, like you're saying, you look Southeastern, but look at the Southland Conference. They're going to have a conference winner, and they're going to probably have an at-large team, you know, this year. Well, you got three or four teams in the hunt, and we all know, look at Northwestern.
One of them is Southeastern.
No, and they look at Northwestern, yeah. The competition in the Southland Conference, when they come to LSU, and they and all of a sudden they 10-run rule them. So, no, it's not easy when you look at, like, where Southeastern's at right now. You look at Lamar, what they swept UNO.
Yeah.
So there's about, if you got a Southland Conference team on your schedule, there's about four or five of them. But you better be bringing, because they can hang.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, McNeese is another team who's having a really a heck of a year. But I have watched Southeastern a good bit. Obviously, that's where my oldest son, Scotty, went. So I still follow them as well. You know, they have a really good team. And the one thing I know for sure, they're not going to be scared. They're going to walk into Tiger Stadium tomorrow knowing that they can beat the Tigers. And obviously, LSU is going to have to – they're going to have to find – you know, they're going to have to piece together some pitching, because, once again, they got Texas A&M coming in. So they can't just say, hey, let's just empty the tank on Southeastern, because they have to keep – they have to keep their pitchers – they have to line their pitchers up for the weekend, you know. So, but, you know, Southeastern, the shortstop, TJ Salvaggio, played for me growing up. That's another reason why I follow him a lot. But, I mean, he's hitting 328 with 11 home runs. He's plays a real steady shortstop. He's been a shortstop there for 4 years. And I actually, the guy they've been starting on on the midweeks, last name Ambrose, he's got a 2.84 ERA. You know what I mean? So he's been getting guys out on the weekdays, but obviously they haven't played LSU type of teams on the midweeks. But so he's going to have his first really challenge to go out there, and that's going to be the key. If he can go out there and throw four or five innings, I think Southeastern has a chance. But if he goes out there and does what the kid from UNO did and ULL and gives up 6-7 in the first two innings, I think it could be a runaway.
The key down the stretch for LSU, in your opinion?
I really think they need this. They have to figure out who can follow Einstein on Saturday. You know, they need somebody who can come in and hold the fort to give, you know, if they're behind and or if they're ahead. If they're ahead, hold the fort, keep the lead. If they're behind, who can come in, keep the runs down to give LSU a chance to rally late with the bats? Also, obviously, you know, that Sunday, you know, is Cason Evans the guy? If he's the guy on Sunday and he goes out and does what he did, you know, this past Sunday, they have a really good shot, you know, because those are the key. I mean, you know, Friday nights, and they've been, knock on wood, they've been very successful. It's just that Saturday game or Sunday game they find a way in. But like Bobby said earlier, I'll be honest, as good as SEC is right now, two out of three is a really good weekend.
Think about Texas, and man, so much happened in the offseason, and they bring in Jim Schlossnagel from A&M, and man, you know, that's the little brother, big brother type of deal between the two of them. But what a difference he's made with the Longhorns this year, Scott.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird. In baseball circles, Schlossnagel is not known as the nicest guy, right? A lot of people, he's the guy you love or you hate, right? There's no middle ground about him. I've never met the guy, so I'm just talking about personally what I've heard through baseball people. Because I know guys who love him, and I know guys who would just do, I mean, not only just don't like him, they hate him. You know, and he was supposed to have five guys from A&M transfer with him, Chase Lavalette, the main one. and a few other guys, and every one of them changed their mind and didn't go. So everybody said at the beginning of the season, it's going to be a down year for Texas. You know, he's going to have to build something for the next few years. And, man, when I tell you this guy, all he does is win, that's like the song, like the rap song, all he does is win, 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 no matter what. That's what this guy does, and he's done it at every place he's been. And he's just one of those guys that when you get behind him, he's the leader, he's a winner, and he makes guys better. And, I mean, they're sitting at number one in the nation. If you'd have told them that back in February, they'd have laughed at you. And they said if he finishes in the top 20, it'd be a good year. But, you know, he's doing it, you know what I mean? And he finds ways. This weekend he beat A&M, which is obviously their biggest rival, 3 games all by 1 run. Good teams win 1 run games. And obviously he's got a good team.
Well, Scott, do you think just without even leaving the state of Texas, look what he did at TCU.
Yep.
And then he goes to Texas A&M, and now he's at Texas. That's
with
like
the
going
resources?
To like Auburn, oh, to Alabama. You know, you go to A&M, to Texas, and all that, and he's not overwhelmed. And the bottom line, are you winning? And I just know, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know where he first even started. I just remember him from TCU. It's like, oh, that look at TCU's program. Then all of a sudden he parlays that. He's at A&M, and now he's at Texas. So, hey, might be a mercenary, but all I know is he's winning, and then he gets compensated. And if you win, then the proof's in the pudding there.
100%, and that's what he's won everywhere he's been. He's always had good assistants, and he lets his assistant coach. You know what I mean? And he's really the real perfect person. When they say, like in the big leagues, you have a manager. He is a college manager. You know, a lot of college programs, their head coach does a lot of things. This guy literally, he manages. He lets his coaches coach. He leads the team. He pushes them. He pulls them. He pulls the strings. But the guy wins, and he like I said, to be number one right now, nobody would have called that early in the year.
Now, Scott, I think they're on top of the division. What about the great start with the Cubs right now? I know you keep up with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Cubs they made the Kyle Tucker trade, which really kind of pumps some energy into not only the fan base but also into the team. You know, they have Pete Crow Armstrong, who's a young 22-year-old center fielder, he's played with camp for a few years. I mean, this kid is electric. He's not Ken Griffey Jr. by no means, but he's got that type of talent. You know, they're pitching for the first time. Their pitching is doing well. They fortified their bullpen. They went out and got Presley from the Astros, who's a proven closer, which they haven't really had for a few years as a proven closer. But they're playing fun baseball. And at the end of the day, most important, they're having fun. I watch the games, and you can tell these guys are excited to come to the ballpark. And it's probably been a hot minute since the Cubs have been excited to show up at the ballpark.
Scott, last question for you. Man, I think about the National League West. The Giants are winning the division. They're 19-10. The Dodgers are 18-10. They're a half game out. The Padres are 17-11, a game and a half out.
The
Diamondbacks, they 15-13, three and a half.
The worst team is the Rockies, where they won four games.
Four games.
Yeah.
And everybody's got 15 wins or more.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
That division, man, you talk about a battle royal there early on. It's happening in the NL West.
Yeah, it definitely is, and I'll be honest. You know, everybody's really surprised that the Giants are up there, and I don't know if the Giants can hold that pace. To be honest, I know the Dodgers are going to win. The Dodgers are going to win 105 games, 103 games. I think the Padres are going to be close in the 98 range. You know, but I don't know if the Giants can keep it up. If they do, it's going to be very interesting. But that is a very, very deep division. I still think the Dodgers are the cream of the crop out there. They've had a couple pitching injuries, which obviously I think slowed them down. But I think when they get that pitching staff healthy and Blake Snell back, I think they're going to run away with it.
Well, you know, Scott, you know when it's bad? When you worse than the White Sox. I look at the Rockies. It's like, whoa. They might be excited about Sean Payton and the Broncos. I don't know. Or the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, the Joker, but I don't know about their baseball team with the Rockies.
Yeah, you know, and the sad thing is that it wasn't that long ago they were pretty good consistently year in and year out, and it just every year they've just been going backwards and backwards and backwards and backwards. And the bottom line is it's really hard to develop pitching there, you know, and nobody – if you do develop a good pitcher, as soon as he gets a chance, he's getting out of there, because I pitched there, and let me tell you, it's not a good place to pitch because the bloopers fall in because you got to play so deep and then the homers go out the park. So it's kind of a – it's not a good place to pitch.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Always enjoy your insights. Always great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
All right, Scott.
Thank you. Yep, thank you guys. Have a great night.
All righty. Scott Sanders does a great job each and every week when we get him on to talk about not only college baseball, but also Major League Baseball. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go back to our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Walter on the West Bank. Walter, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
How you doing, Mike Dettelia? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I recognize the voice now, buddy. How you been?
Okay, fine. How you doing? I like the interview you had with Archie. He looks like he likes this quarterback, and he has a good chance to succeed. And I have to give Bobby Hebert credit about Michael Pratt. He said he'd never make it to the NFL. I got to ask your opinion. If he don't make the practice squad this year, for Tampa, I think he'll be out of football. You know the reason why he's not succeeding? Any reason? I know.
With Michael Pratt, and I said, I don't know.
As a backup quarterback.
But, like, to make a practice squad and continue.
I think he continues. Man, with the UFL. His career is not going to be over if he doesn't make it with the Bucs.
No, it's a difference. Like, can you make a team or are you the man? I mean, the bottom line, if you want to make a living, everybody wants to work in the world. Just got to, you know, if you can make a living. God, this thing's slipping in my mind now. You know who's one of the most awesome Tulane quarterbacks ever? He's from California, and he was backing up Tom Brady. He's with the Saints, with the Tampa Bay.
Yes, Ryan Griffin.
Ryan Griffin. I want to say Ryan Griffin might have last 10, 12 years. Remember after Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl, the Tom Brady was so chocked on the boat, he was about ready to fall off. He's so wasted. And that was Ryan Griffin's job to take care of Tom Brady then. But he kept making the team. Look at the backup. Look at the career. Now, I don't know, Ryan Griffin, is he coaching now? I don't even know.
Yeah, he's coaching today.
Okay, so he parlayed that. He played, and you never really heard of Ryan Griffin.
Yeah, he didn't get beat up either.
He didn't get beat up. He made a living like a CEO, you know, playing professional football with the Saints at Tampa Bay, and now he loves football. He's still coaching. So that's what Michael Pratt needs to do. You just got to last. You know, you want to be the man. Everybody wants to be the man, but everybody can't be the man. You got to humble yourself. And now if you have opportunity, take advantage of opportunity, or you got to, you know, just fight and do whatever you can to make a team. And if Michael Pratt could do that years to come, I would say that's very successful.
Okay, there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, but how many of them are really the man?
I would say, this is stretching, I would say 18 out of the 32.
You know what? I'd agree with you.
I'd say 18 out of the 32, and I would say they're always looking for a dozen, 12, if not 14 quarterbacks.
Every year they're looking to get better.
The team is looking, oh, well, we got this quarterback, but we want somebody else. So that's just the way it is. So if you just fight and don't check your ego at the door and just go compete, take it one day at a time, and just go win the day. And now you think about this, there's 32 teams, not 32 starting quarterbacks, but everybody keeps two quarterbacks. Not every team keeps three quarterbacks, but they all keep two because they're, you know, the limited roster spots. But my goal would be, like in your military, Brad, can it be one of 64? Okay, you got 32 teams, the math, times two, there's two quarterbacks per team. And whether you mean north, south, east, west, wherever you're at, can I compete at a high level and take pride in my craft and work out, and I'm going to compete, and whoever I'm competing against win, can it be one out of 64? I mean, one of those 64 guys. That's how you last 10, 12 years.
Think about what's the population of the United States.
Well, we had 380-some million, or that, am I 360-some million?
And they got only 18 guys that can do it at that level.
Yeah.
Think how hard it is to beat a man at quarterback.
That's why they think, oh, Bobby Hebert did it from cutoff. I can do it. I'd say not so fast. you better humble yourself, slow your roll.
Thanks so much for the call, Walter. Great to hear your voice again. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in the 6 o'clock hour, we got one more hour of Second Guess right here on the Big 870 WWL, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be back with one more hour of sports talk, Second Guess style.